So we'll just allow a few people to join. People are now coming into the room. So we'll just give those people a few moments. And then we'll get going. So welcome everybody to Accountancy Manager's first podcast. We've been doing a series of digital events over the past few months and decided to run a podcast interviewing some of industry leading experts. And today we're joined by Matt Flanagan from Apicus. Matt, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, morning, James. So my name's Matt Flanagan. I run got a couple of businesses, but I've got Blue Hub, which is helps SMEs adopt stock systems in and around cloud accounting. And then I've got a business called Apicus, which I do quite a lot of work with now, which is educating accounting firms on how to get the most out of cloud accounting and the associated ecosystem to the benefit of them and the benefit of their clients rather than one or the other.
Fantastic. Okay, and today we're going to look at a few things. One of which we're going to be talking about is returning back to the office. Matt, I noticed that you're sat at home, I guess in a home office, whereas I'm back here at the office itself, you know, with my team. So, what thoughts have you got around the whole returning to work, returning to the office side of things?
Yeah, it's been really interesting, actually. So I have been in the office. Our office is open, and it's just been a case of that I managed to get set up at home reasonably well, and that's been quite good, although I have mixed it up by going into the office. We've got one member of staff who's permanently in the office, and then the others are really just predominantly working from home, the team of 10, 11 that we've got. But I think it's opened up quite a, for employees, it's really opened up like a different way of thinking about working. And I think my view on going back to the office or visiting people's premises and things like that is really up to one, the individual, what the firm actually wants from their staff and if they're happy to work in that way. But I think there's definitely opened the eyes of employees as they could work a little bit differently. But what about you? How have you found the difference?
Well, I mean, if we go right back, you know, 10 days before the government announced that we needed to go into lockdown, we'd actually already asked our entire team to start working remotely. And fortunately, we were in a position to do that. So we're talking 20 employees all working from home. Okay, we had to invest in a bit more machinery so that they could work from home. And the team's pulled together while we've been working remotely. And I think everybody was itching to get back into the office and be amongst people. So we pulled out all the stops when the government sort of relaxed things a little bit. And we came in and we reorganized all the desks and all the chairs. And we put signage up everywhere. And we bought hand sanitizer. And we put units on the wall just outside so that when people came in, we had to do a risk assessment with... We used Peninsula, and they were able to provide us with a risk assessment to make sure that we were COVID safe. And gradually then we phased people back into the office. Some of them remained at home, some that were maybe taking public transport. And those that were able to come in, some did some remote working where they'd come in a few days a week and then work a few days from home. But now we've got to a stage where we've got about 16 people back in the office. Mm-hmm. Again, some of them days on, some days off, yeah. And some new members of the team joining us too. So it's definitely changed, but it's also changed, I think, from an employer's perspective that we're more comfortable having people work remotely. When I think there was a lot of fear around this originally, it was like, oh, we can't have everyone work from home. How productive are they going to be? Are they going to get work done? But we've seen that people have really pulled together. I think it works. For me personally, I prefer being in the office. I've had two children running around at home for the last 4 or 5 months, and getting a couple of days in the office is a lovely sort of break, to be honest.
Yeah. I think we were looking actually at going to a bigger office, and we've come back from that now. And I think what we're going to end up doing is we've got 12 desks or 11 desks in a couple of offices where we're at, and we're actually going to remove probably at least half of those desks, mm-hmm. probably put a sofa or two in and become a bit more of a communal hub. And then for the people who do want to work, a couple of employees who've got small children and can do with actually being in the office sometimes just to break it up a bit, or we've got another member of staff whose partner's also working from home, so it's getting a bit crowded, in the office space that they've got. So I think we are going to see, but I don't think we're ever anticipating to see, you know, all members of staff in 5 days a week again. I think it'd be very much sort of a rotational or on your own basis. And I was talking to a not an accounting firm, but a professional services business last week. And I know they're looking at annualized contracts now with staff, where they're looking to say, well, it's up to you really when you do the work. It's just that we, over the year, we're expecting to do this type of hours, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And if you want to do a 7 day week, it's up to you. You want to do a 4 day week, just as long as the milestones are hit and the customers are dealt with in a good manner, in a good way, then, you know, we're pretty much going to accept that. So it's going to be really interesting to see how much this turns the tide of how we work in general.
Yeah, and I think with the accounting profession as a whole, I mean, you know, remembering back when I was working in practice, it wasn't how many hours I put into the business. It was about I had a portfolio of clients, and provided I could get that work done on time and not keep the clients waiting, yeah, and I had a good communication with those clients, everybody was happy. And it had absolutely nothing to do with how many hours I put in as opposed to how much output I was able to give out. And it's not like that in every business. So I think the accounting profession is quite fortunate in that way. And it has probably allowed then for those businesses to start working in a slightly more modern fashion and allow people to have a little bit more free rein over the way that they choose to work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, so we talked a little bit about returning back to the office. I got another question for you then. What challenges do you find that accountants are talking about to you when you're speaking to accountants? What are the sort of challenges that are out there that you're hearing back from them?
I mean, I think at the moment, I think it's been a really interesting time for accountants actually, because I think the whole of the government, certainly UK HMRC support, where we've got all of this furlough guidance and CBILS and bounce back loans, I think accountants have, like in general, rose to the challenge of being that interpreter, that translator of this is happening in HMRC land, and this is what it means for us as SMEs. So I think there's real goodwill, and I think they've really been seen as real value part of a business's partnership. But I think where it is now is we've seen a real move towards digitization at the moment. Lots of businesses are thinking about second spikes and what do we do and how do we stay robust? Or we've just had a bounce back loan and we've got 50 grand in the bank. Like, how long does that last us? So I think at the moment where we're seeing a bit of the challenge is we're getting businesses who have been getting all this great support, maybe free as well in terms of like CBILS and furlough. And now these are requests, maybe, how do I start to like modernize my business a little bit with this cloud accounting and this other technology that's around that? And I think some of the challenges now is like making sure that that is a piece of revenue-based service, as opposed to just becomes more and more free work as just part of the goodwill of a pandemic or a very strange scenario that we're in. So I think at the moment there's this element of, right, how do I start to charge or make the client see this is a different piece of work than what we would do for our annual accounts engagement. So I think that's certainly one challenge. On the flip side is also, it's a big shift internally for staff. And then for some of your clients as well, it's going to be a big shift for them. So all in all, it's like just a big change piece that needs to be considered.
It's interesting, isn't it, that it's almost like the accountants, first of all, the accountants have had to digitalize the way that they're working and the cloud-based softwares that they're having to adopt. You know, accountants have had to do it first. Yeah. And now what they're having to do is they're having to advise their clients on how to digitalize their businesses and to go, you know, to go cloud-based and be able to work remotely. And and the clients are coming to the accountants. And I guess in some instances, the clients aren't going to the accountants, and yet the accountants are probably feeling now that it's their job to give this advice out to the mm-hmm. clients. And one of the big things in this, isn't it, is that if accountants are going to start promoting cloud-based products, and this has been a stumbling block for a lot of accountants, and the accountancy firm that I was working for originally as well, was how do we get away with charging our clients more fees than we already do by saying they need to adopt a cloud-based software like Xero, for example, or QuickBooks, mm-hmm. and they have an extra monthly fee to pay, maybe £45 a month, if they were going to use their combination of Xero and Receipt Bank, whatever it might be. And how do you get across that their fees are now going to increase by more than £500 a year? And how do you, Matt, deliver that? How do you assist accountants in trying to deliver that message?
Well, I think the one thing at the moment, with the way that cloud has been adopted in general, certainly post-MTD, the first phase that we had last year before, those periods of time that we had, what's happened really is the cloud accounting's been adopted at the moment is still very much in the, it's either for a VAT return or it's for an annual account. So that piece of cloud accounting data is only getting updated quarterly or once a year. And obviously, if you look at all of the cloud accounting vendors, they all say they're real-time pieces of software. So we've really got to make a shift towards getting the data up to date, at least monthly, if possible. Now, people will say, well, that's hard with bank bookkeeping, that's more charge. But we have to use the technology to create some efficiencies and some automation, which will then start to make that a little bit easier in terms of getting data in there once a month. And at the moment as well, I think once businesses start to see the data in there and there's some comparable, and you could start to hold the client accountable to maybe some of the targets, et cetera, they're looking for, then there's more value in that than the VAT return or the annual accounts. And it's this, but we do need really good data, which is part of compliance, underpinning any conversations that we have as an accountant. So it can't be that, you know, it's this compliance is dead and it's all gone. Compliance might have changed, but we'd certainly need the data that compliance brings to the fore in order to have better conversations. And I think we need to be insightful and more proactive. And I think that's what cloud brings to the table. But at the moment, it's still adopted in a standard quarterly or annual basis. So I think we've got to change our messaging to our clients about what they get from this. Because all of a sudden, if that's £500 a year, to have more data at your fingertips in a time which is uncertain, so you can make better forecasting and better informed decisions in general, a good business, and not all businesses are always going to value this, a good business will say, well, that is worth that type of additional cost in order to get that back. But it could also be that you find some more efficiencies internally, which means that it's not an extra £500. There's an argument that the cloud accounting and even the invoice automation, receipt banks, auto entry and things can actually just benefit your own firm anyway, in terms of starting to internally process a lot better.
Yeah. So obviously, a few things in there, isn't it? One is the efficiency that is gained from everybody being on all of your clients being on a cloud-based solution then should create more efficiency internally in your own firm. And therefore, it may even be that in some instances, accountants might not charge the full fees as well out to those clients, because they might feel like they're saving enough time internally to actually reduce the cost of that software that the clients might be paying for. And the other thing I heard you mentioning there is that really we must always remember that compliance is the foundation of the accountancy practice. It always has been and it always will be. And there's been a lot of talk over the last few years about advice and advice, we need to now change the way that accountants are adopting things. And it wasn't really change the existing way of doing things compliance-wise, maybe making it more efficient, but actually just on top of that level now, we need to be able to offer advice. And that's not saying giving free advice. We need to be able to charge for this advice. You know, that's why accountants are experts in this field. And for me, one of the reasons that I felt that I was able to be an expert in my field was because I was working with lots of different businesses. And who else gets the opportunity to work with? So I had 100 clients in my portfolio. I was able to work with all of those businesses. And that gives you a bird's eye view over the top of all of these different businesses, so that you are picking up more knowledge around the best ways of doing things, best practice, and then being able to obviously assist your clients with that, you know, newfound knowledge. So I think compliance is key. Getting the data in there, having that real-time data, absolutely. And I guess one of the ways to be able to sell that to them is, look, by using this software, by having that real-time data, I, as your accountant, am going to be able to better advise you on what you need to be doing. And not only that, but as an added bonus, and I can't imagine now not having a software in place where we can see at any point in time a snapshot of how our business is doing. Now, it might be a bit different. Consultants probably wouldn't benefit quite as much, I would say, just because you're kind of, it's just low costs and sort of, you know, and slightly different business structure. But business, you know, lots of businesses out there not having that snapshot of how things are doing. And we have clients We hear of clients now coming in saying that they want that snapshot. They need to know more now than ever before, especially because of cash flow. Of course, cash flow forecasting has become, it always should have been a big thing. You know, one of the biggest reasons for businesses failing was cash flow. They wouldn't have planned out their cash flow. They'd sink it and they wouldn't be able to recover from it. And now needing to have cash flow forecasting in place means needing to have real-time information and up to date.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just important. And as a business owner, like, I can't imagine that. And I think going back to your point about certain businesses fit and certain businesses don't, I think that's real valid, right? So if you're working with a business and they're very happy with what they've got, and it's a smaller business and more of a lifestyle business, and there's no aspiration to do major things with the business, then they're probably quite happy with where they're sat and what they're doing. If you've got a business that's aspirational to do more, grow and things, then they probably do need something. And then if a business is in trouble, they also need the visibility. So there is understanding the client you're talking to. It's not a one fits all, but it should be something I think that is at least offered to businesses. And if the businesses don't choose to take it, there's nothing more you can do. What you don't want is another firm, well, not even down the road, down the internet line, offering this service because you haven't done that. And I think that's the risk, really, is that certainly with cloud, you could put someone on cloud, it's not a great experience for them or you, not the best use of the cloud system, and somebody else turns up and does a 20-minute, half-hour review and really pulls it apart and said it could be X, Y, and Z. So I think that's some of the risk, really. If you're going to adopt it properly and give the client the best opportunity of getting the most out of it.
Yeah, we have to be, as accountants, we have to be dynamic, don't we? And we have to be able to change depending on the clients that we're dealing with. Now, I've spoken to lots of accountants, and I do hear some will just say, we don't want people that aren't willing to adopt to this method, and therefore we're quite happy to pick and choose our clients. Other people maybe don't feel like they have that choice, or they've got a long-standing client base. Maybe they've got an older generation in there with them as well. Maybe the farming community, those guys aren't too, they're not too compliant with wanting to adopt the whole cloud-based solutions.
On the old agriculture, one of the most advanced business I went to see was a farmer. I mean, I don't know if you've seen an up-to-date, like a latest tractor. They run off GPS with an iPad in them. They're almost like a spaceship within those cockpits now. So I think that's coming, but there's definitely an element of with the agriculture, and certainly they're normally in more remote areas, and sometimes internet's a bit of a problem, etc. But we shouldn't assume that's all farmers, right? It's going to be that some farmers will fit that demographic, others will be looking to modernise and use technology.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Okay, so just checking the time there. So we've got about 13 minutes. I've got a bit more time. I'd like to touch on the ultimate benefit of adopting tech in practice. What would you say, Matt, is your opinion? What's the ultimate benefit of adopting tech in practices?
For me, the tech should really give a much more efficient internal workflow and visibility for the firm. I think I've worked with lots of firms over the years and also done spot checks on firms, and I'm sure you've seen this, and there's lots of different processes going on with the firm. It might be down to the individual, the office, they've got different spreadsheets running. So for me to get that standard way of working, even if it's just for 90% of the client base, and there's a 10% which has to be done a different way, but really just trying to realign the internal workflows, I think is huge benefit, because then it's much better for onboarding. If people aren't available, other people can step in. It doesn't become single points of failure. So for me, adopting tech internally is vitally important. But on the flip side, if you're using a similar tech stack, a similar cloud accounting system over and over again for your client base, it's the same thing again. Well, we know what we offer, we know how we work, and then you can spread that knowledge across others rather than, Matt likes using this system, James likes using this system, so-and-so likes using this system, and then you're just a sort of a jack of all trades, master of none. So there's internal efficiencies gains for sure if you can get everyone working to the same workflow and using the same tools and processes. On the flip side, for the clients, exactly the same. It's like we need to be masters of something. So be masters of one thing initially, and then you can master some others after that. And I think at the moment it's a little bit scattergun. But certainly internal efficiencies and visibility is like definitely one of them for adopting the tech.
So, obviously you're talking my stuff now, aren't you? Because it's, accountancy manager being, practice management software. Yeah. And again, coming from a place where working in practice, and you know, I'll tell a little bit maybe about the story there, you know, working in practice using spreadsheets, like many accountants were doing and many still are doing, you know, using spreadsheets to manage the client database, as well as trying to manage your deadlines and things in there, and trying to have all of your staff jump onto this spreadsheet at different times and update it. I mean, you know, when I think back, you know, 5 years, absolute madness. And where did that come from? It came from the need to become more efficient. That was all, you know, for me personally, I wanted to be able to make more money. So it was, I wanted to be able to invoice more clients, and I couldn't if I was being held down by some of those restrictions of having to do the administrative burden and the organizing and bringing other staff in and trying to work alongside each other with, you know, without outdated products. And don't get me wrong, I love Excel. I still love Excel today. It's a wonderful product to work
it's
with.
It's not going anywhere, Excel. But it'll be here forever.
It will. And the other reason was because I'd had my firstborn, so it meant that I wanted to be able to spend, you know, more time at home as well. Unfortunately for me, we built Accountancy Manager, which completely transformed the practice and made it more efficient. But then we were running a software company, for which now I need to build a new product to run the software company to bring efficiency in here, more efficiency, because we have to, again, we have to do probably in a very similar way to other businesses and accountancy practices to a certain degree. We have to find different software products that we can link together to create the right tech stack so that we can work in the most efficient way. And that's, it's the same, isn't it? It's the same here as it is in an accountancy practice, and having all your staff need to have visibility. And I think what's really important is getting all the staff on board, isn't it? Because if you haven't got everybody bought into that one way of working, and that's not saying you have to work in a specific way. You continue to work in the way that's best for your firm, but you need everybody on board when you're adopting a new software product, whatever that might be in the practice.
Yeah, absolutely. If there's anybody, any outliers to it, you're actually better taking them out of the conversation to bring anything new in and bring them in once it's in place. I think some people try and bring everybody on board. And I always look at, in a room, there's three categories of people when you're looking at change, basically. And there's ones, they're the people who are up for it and are going to give it a go, and will go sort of head first into it without really, and worry about the consequences after. There's the twos who are sat on the fence and they're like just waiting to see, we'll come back to the twos. And then there's the threes who are like, I'm not getting involved in this. It's just not for me, and I've got no will to do it. And I think firms, all businesses, to be honest, but firms try and take all those three parties on. But those twos, they will go to whichever more weight of ones or threes there are. So all of a sudden you've got a room of ones and threes rather than, more threes heavy weighted in the room, but really want to get them to ones. So sometimes taking the threes out just makes the twos become ones. We have a convoluted ones, twos and threes story. But essentially you've got to bring those people on who are willing to do it. You've got to, because they'll get weighed down by the people who don't want to do it. So I'm a fan of take those people who aren't willing to do it right now, take them out of the equation, move forward as a little proof of concept job, prove it, get people with you who are willing to prove it, and then bring them in once it's a bit more understood what the process and the procedures are going to be.
Yeah, no, that's great advice. And I think, you know, as business owners, as business leaders, you know, it's our jobs, isn't it? And in practices, it's our jobs to be able to, we're the ones with the vision and sort of we know how we need to become more efficient. And it's our job then to get our staff on board with that. And if that means having to strategically work that so that it works for the business, that's what needs to be done, isn't it? And go on.
With any change as well, like as much as we like it or don't like it, I've yet to see anybody do a huge change where they haven't lost staff and haven't lost clients, because you're changing compatibility. We used to work like this. Now we work like this. And the people who used to work in the former way are like, well, I'm used to that world, and they just don't come along. And there's nothing wrong with that. You're just changing the compatibility. And sometimes I think we try and hang on to those people or those clients, and it's like, well, actually, we've just moved on and we're no longer the compatibility we once were. So let's go and find some people we are compatible with, and let those people go and find services or employers who are going to be compatible with how they want to work. So for me, it's just a change of model. There's always going to be collateral damage with that.
Yeah. Yeah, but at the same time, opening, you might close some doors, but you're opening more in front of you, aren't you? We are constantly moving forward in the accounting profession. It is, and it is constantly changing. I mean, accountancy is one of the oldest professions, isn't it, around?
Yeah,
it survived everything. You know, it's not going to be beaten by this global pandemic, absolutely not. And if anything, you know, more people have flocked towards the accounting community for the advice. You know, we've always been the middlemen between the client and HMRC. You know, that's where accountants sit. And the way that, you know, HMRC did things a bit differently and made things a little bit less complicated and delivered it in a slightly different way, I think there'd be maybe less need for accountants, but that HMRC provide accountants with a job, don't they?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. Unless the government gets rid of tax, which I can't see really happening, I don't think it's going anywhere. But yeah, and actually, you can only see, if we're going through more and more spikes in, you know, in this pandemic area, then there's likely to be more support services from HMRC coming along. So even like cements even closer the accounting community to the business owner community. So interested to see what happens.
Yeah, no, very much so. Okay, so just having a check there. We've got a few minutes left. We've talked about, you know, adopting tech in practice and real-time information. Have you got anything to add around improving client relationships? Like how can accountants go about improving the client relationships? Obviously, at the moment, clients are feeling a little bit uncertain about their business and about where they should be spending their money and how much they maybe want to be paying the accountant. Have we got some advice around that, Matt?
Yeah, I think it's... I think like these businesses at the moment who've got this money in the bank or they had the money in the bank and it's gone, for me at the moment it's making contact with those businesses. And if you've got a lot of businesses on your radar, it may be that you start to look at the businesses on your portfolio within your firm and start making a priority list of who you're going to go and make sure you have a conversation with about where they are personally, where they are in their business and what they look the next 6-12 months looks like. I think at the moment, sometimes we can be reactive to maybe some calls coming in, and maybe it's not always the best clients who are calling us because they might be the ones that are in distress and actually that they're in a sector which is going to struggle through this. But at the same time, some businesses may be a bit quieter that we maybe haven't made contact with because they've not got into contact with us. So I'd be going and asking those basic questions, you know, how's things? What are you thinking about for the next 12 months? Do you need any visibility of where your business is on a monthly or quarterly basis? Do we want to keep tabs on that? And just really go and ask the question about what their plan is for the next, as best they can make, for the next 12 months. But yeah, I think if you've got a lot of clients on your radar, you probably really need to make a priority list of like who's important to you in the firm or who you think. The other side of this is going to be, I've spoken to a lot of businesses who are looking to outsource a lot, not just accounting, marketing. They've had all of this fixed cost within their business and they're looking to shed that and be a bit more flexible with how they outsource. So the other thing might be, you might have a business that you've never done a lot for, but actually they could be real potential to do some more with, because they might be looking at how they can utilize some better business partners as opposed to carry all the fixed costs themselves. So I think I'd be having a look at prioritizing your existing list, who do we need to speak to and make sure we've contacted with, and maybe there's another list of good clients we don't do enough for. Is it a good chance to speak about what more we could do for them at this point?
Yeah, no, that's really good advice to sort of section off clients, you know, take your client list, section off, and then probably drop an email out to that, you know, to a chunk, because you can't send them out to all your clients at once. If you've got 1,000 clients, you know,
you're
going to get bombarded. So work it into bite-sized chunks, you know, that you can handle. Drop an email out to those guys, offer them, say, hey, how are you getting on? How are things going with your business? Are we able to assist you any further here? However you want to word it, and then wait for them to come back to you. At least you've reached out then.
You
know, my brother's always said, my brother works over in LA for a big marketing agency, and he's always said contacting the clients on a regular basis throughout the year is absolutely essential to allow them to feel special and looked after. And I think that's absolutely key to keep the conversation going. And I think the point you made about the fact that the people that are probably contacting accountants at the moment are the ones that you don't necessarily constantly want contacting you, because they're, you know, they're the panickers and they're the worriers and they're using a lot of your time. And then to try and sort of break that out a little bit and become a bit more proactive than reactive, I think is probably really, really good advice, Matt. So
Yeah, so we just don't want to forget. Just don't want to forget about them because we get so busy with, you know, everyone's busy. We've all got stuff to do, but we've got to make that time to contact those people who are important to us as a firm.
Yeah, no, very much so. Very much so. Well, how much time have we got? We basically ran out of time, but you know, thank you very much, Matt, for joining us on our first Accountancy Manager podcast. We're going to be running a series, and it's great to have heard your advice and take on things. So thank you very much for joining us, Matt.
Yeah, not a problem. Thanks for having me. Glad to be on the first one.
Thank you. And thank you, everybody who joined us as well. We've got a recording of the podcast, so we will be sending it out to everybody that's registered. We've had a good turnout on the podcast today, which is fantastic. And if anybody wants to get in touch with Matt or myself, then obviously Matt's with Apicus. I'm here at Accountancy Manager. And with that, we'll end the podcast. And I hope everybody has a great day.
Cheers, James. Thanks a lot.
Thanks all.